All right, we're back, and now we're hanging out with guitarist extraordinaire and the lead man from the Grammy Award-winning group The Mavericks, the one and only Mr. Eddie Perez, EP.
Hello, Kevin. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, man. Nice to see you, as always.
It's always a pleasure to see
everybody. Currently out on tour to support this brand new record, The Mavericks.
Yeah, here we go again.
Again.
Man, we just keep on going and going, I guess, you know.
Yeah, but if you didn't have the muse, would you stop anyway?
No, you know, no. This is a Raul. Always, he has a saying. He says, I think we're just lifers. I think, you know, it is true. Yeah. Ever since I can remember, I've always been enthralled by music. It's always been my solace and my safe place for me. And it was when I was growing up as a kid, and it's no different now. You know, music always pulls me through everything. So, yeah, to be in a band with a bunch of guys who are like-minded, it's a treat.
Yeah. You know? And then, well, I mean, I know you didn't intend for this record to happen this way. It just was sort of like by osmosis. Mm-hmm. And I guess, for lack of a better term, these are not hits, but what are your favorite songs?
I know, yeah. It seems a bit preposterous to call it play the hits.
Right.
But, you know, in true Maverick fashion, you know, we always try to do things that are somewhat, you know, hanging out there in the air
for the Maverick way,
for people to interpret it in the way that they wish. You know what I mean? Yeah. What's most important is what's inside the packaging and, you know, past the title and all that. But, this collection of music, it really snowballed rather quickly. You know, I mean, we were, some of these, mind you, we have played
for years.
You know, and you know, they've certainly been inspirations to us, but we finally did something about it, you know, and it really did. We got into the studio when we had some off time, and if you can believe this, we, you know, of all the 100+ shows we do a year and the personal appearances, and we still have to find time to, you know, get in the studio together as a band and keep, you know, creating music.
Right,
and this record kind of came about in that kind of way while we were making another one.
Because you had like a leftover track from Brand New Day you threw on here, and
yeah, it was kind of that sort of thing. As we were going, and then, as you know, in between takes of doing other things, we kind of seemed to put this one together rather quickly. And I think it's not only a testament to you know, all the musicians that we have with us and all of our collective tastes, but also because we play so many shows, we were able to go in there rather quickly and make a record. But, you know, I don't want to give the impression that it was done.
Yeah, it's not a cash grab record, folks. No, this is a labor of love.
We don't do anything like that, you know? I mean, when we got the band back together again, 7 years ago, that was the big thing. Raul really was at the forefront of saying, you know, if we're going to do this, we have to be pushing forward artistically. This is not going to be something that we use the name to a means to an end. That's not really what this is about, and that's not how we take care of this.
Go out and play the same 14 songs every night.
Right, yeah. So even though this record came about quickly, it was done with a lot of care and love.
It's a 20-year labor of love.
Like we have to do everything else. You know, so.
Well, let's get to some of this music here. And from all the years of knowing you and knowing how huge that you and Rollo are Elvis fans, I was expecting definitely an Elvis cover on it, and you didn't disappoint.
You know, I got to say, I mean, of all the Elvis covers and all the songs that we've been influenced by Elvis, I mean, for me, you know, the 1-2-3 punch for me as a kid, in my formidable years in terms of growing up in this music, was Elvis first.
Yeah.
You know, followed by Chuck Berry.
Chuck Berry, I was going to say.
And then followed by the Beatles and then Stones and
everything else after that.
You know, but this song, first of all, it was a lot of these songs when we went into the studio, you know, we were kind of messing with the versions as we knew them.
Yeah.
And then as we started to kind of play around with them in the studio, there's a strange thing that happens with the Mavericks, you know. I mean, again, we have all the influences, each and every one of us in the band. So when we come together, we have a way of like knowing these tunes without ever really playing them. It's a strange thing, you know, it's an unspoken thing we have.
Right.
But one day in the studio in the morning, Raul came in and he sat down at the piano and he just started playing the Don't Be Cruel riff. And at first I thought he was just messing around. I didn't think he was going to,
right,
we were going to do that song, you know? And like everything else, it just kind of honestly kick-started the whole making this record experience. We had a couple of tracks already that we'd done, right, that we were saving for something like this. But I think what happened was the opportunity just presented itself, and Don't Be Cruel was one of the ones that we went there and like pretty quickly found an arrangement that really sounded like us, and before we knew it, it really kicked off, you know, the inertia of everything else that came afterwards, you know?
Oh, okay.
But Don't Be Cruel, I mean, that's a, that is a staple. If you're an Elvis fan, that has to be among the top songs in your, you know, Elvis vocabulary, you know, and that certainly is one. And I think we did it justice, you know. I mean, when's the last time somebody did that song or, right, or really paid attention to it? And yeah, you know.
Yeah.
So I thought it was fun, and that was an interesting one to do. You know, I mean, again, there could have been many of them. You know, we could have done,
oh yeah,
Return to Sender, or we could have done, I mean, God, you know,
Burning Love.
We should have done an American Trilogy.
You got the horn section and all to do it right. You could have
done Poke Salad Annie or something like that. But I don't know. No, it was really fun to put this on there. I think
Steamroller Blues.
Yeah, exactly. I think Don't Be Cruel is a really good, it's in a good spot in the record. And I think that it's a nice one. And again, you know, we kind of made it our own thing. And hopefully people get a lot of enjoyment out of it, you know.
All right, so let's play it next right here. Here you go. Don't Be Cruel from the Mavericks. Play the Hits. There you go. The Mavericks, Play the Hits is the record, and that's Don't Be Cruel with that kind of Vegas lounge kind of little kind of thing going there. I love Deke's, the drums in that.
Isn't that crazy?
That is so cool. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, in the process of making these records, you know, when you've been at it for as long as this band has, and you know, Raul certainly as a songwriter not just the singer and leader of the band, but also as a solo artist, you know, you're always trying to do something different when you're making records that maybe you haven't done yet, or maybe you haven't, maybe there's an idea you had and just kind of shows itself that maybe that's the appropriate time to maybe try something like that.
Yeah.
And you know, not every idea works too.
No.
You know, I mean, that for everything that makes the record,
there's something that did.
Oh, there's
usually
many
two
things
or three
that didn't.
Right. Usually there's
and
two or
so,
three.
Well,
I asked JD this, so let me ask you. I know you all probably, you gave them a list, you all had submitted a list, and you wound up with like 30, 40 songs, and then pared them down to these.
We did, you know, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. I mean, first of all, Raul is going to sing the songs.
Right, yeah. so he has the final.
He has to really feel
that
there's some kind of connection to it, whether it be a melody or a lyric or all of the above that resonated with him and touched him in some kind of profound way. You know, that's the most important thing first before anything.
Yeah.
You know, so he had a list, Jerry Dale had a list, we all had lists in our head and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But until we actually got into the studio and we started experimenting with some of these songs, they just, it's a strange thing, Kevin, but this record kind of really almost feels like it made itself, kind of.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's how in rhythm we all work.
As
each other.
We like to say, that's just,
you know,
living
we,
in the
we
groove.
We play nice together.
Living in the groove.
We
baby.
Make great music, I think.
That's it. And again, as I said earlier, you guys, like I said, you Mavericks it up.
We did. We did. As we do most things, you know, we don't know how to do anything. You know, what's that Tina Turner said? Nice and easy. We don't, yeah. No, it's we're always searching for something that we haven't done yet. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. All right, well, let's. We got another track here we'd like you to talk about, and I guess it's an old Patsy Cline number here that.
Yeah, this song has always been one of my favorite songs, cut from any artist. I mean, it's such an emotional lyric, and it's not a wasted moment in that song.
No.
You know, from the lyric to the melody to the arrangement. And so. And then, you know, when you have a singer like Raul who has that beautiful, soaring, sort of operatic, urbanesque, whatever it is, all things that are good.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a singer like that, he can take a song like that and really do something special with it, you know? Yeah. So in the midst of being in the studio and working on the record, you know, we recorded in Nashville. That's our, you know, our home base. And
Blackbird,
and,
right?
Blackbird Studios is by far our most favorite place to just, you know, make this music. We've become really attached to the place. Yeah. But in Nashville, in a studio like that, you know, there's always several rooms and always things going on all the time.
Yeah.
But we were cutting that song, and a good buddy of ours, Mickey Raphael, who plays harmonica with Willie Nelson for, God, 40 plus years now, you know, he's just, you know, being in the musician circles in Nashville is a very, you would think it's so spread out, but it's quite
very tight,
a close community.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of, quite honestly, Mickey lives like five doors down from the same street as I do. So we're all kind of, you know, we've all become friends over the years.
Right.
Anyway, Mickey came to the studio early, not to see us, but to do a session with somebody, and he just happened to see that we were there, so he popped in as we were cutting that song, and Raul said, "Hey man, do you have your stuff with you?" He says, "Yeah, I got everything. Man, would you go get him play on this?" And that's how Mickey Raphael guessed it on "Why Can't She Be You." So on top of having that beautiful rendition with that lovely lyric and melody, then there's Mickey Raphael on it giving his, I mean, he's iconic. Without saying a word.
Yep.
When you hear that harmonica.
Oh, you know.
Can you imagine Willie Nelson's music without that harmonica?
Right. Yeah. Right. I think of it too.
I don't think Willie could either. You know, Mickey told me a story about the first time he ever met Willie and he played with him. It was at a jam.
Yeah.
And it was after that same night, Willie basically asked him to kind of go on the road, basically.
Right.
And that's how he ended up being with Willie all those years.
Yeah.
But to have him put his beautiful spicing on it was just sending it over the top, you know. And in this whole record, I mean, there are many songs on this new record that are, I could say, are my favorite, and not to sound cliche, but it really is true, but this one is really exquisite.
Yeah.
And it's among my favorites on this record.
Alright, so we'll play that next one. Why don't you set it up for us then?
Here's a song off our brand new record. This is Eddie Perez of the Mavericks. You're listening to Play the Hits. And the song is called "Why Can't She Be You."
There you go. "Why Can't She Be You," the Mavericks, brand new record, Play the Hits, EP. Eddie, thank you so much for taking the time.
Love you,
God.
Thank you,
man.
It's always great to see you.
I know we're going on to the next person, so so we got to kind of segue into that song. So I figured, why don't this be the best time then to ask you about "Once Upon a Time"?
Oh, well, that's an interesting song. I got to tell you something about that. You know, quite a few years ago, all of us guys in the band, we listen to a lot of music. You know, I think that's why the vocabularies are so big for us, because it's nonstop. We're listening to music in the bus in the day, on the way to the venues, at night, before the show, after the show. It's a nonstop affair.
Taking a shower.
That's the radio in my head always playing. Sometimes it gets hard to quiet that thing. But I brought this song to the guy's attention a few years ago, and the first time I played it for Raul. We were just on the bus. Let's just listen to music. No real pointed, like, hey, listen to this sort of thing. It wasn't like that. It was just playing it. And Raul's like, who is this and what is this, you know? And I said, man, this is a song from Marvin Gaye and Mary Wells. And it's back, you know, in the beginnings of their careers in Motown in the early 60s, I said. And the Motown era was my mom's favorite era of music, you know. That's her, that's where she lives,
that's,
you know,
her wheelhouse.
It's her wheelhouse.
Yeah.
And this particular song was her most favorite song of any of that Motown era stuff. So as a child growing up, that song was just always there. It was always a part of my growing up, and it was a part of my, you know, existence, you know, in that family. And so the song was always a very near and dear thing to me. You know, it's a lot of good memories attached to it, you know.
Right.
And Raul finally, we finally got the notion to try to see if we can make something out of it. And man, it just turned into such a, I think, such an elegant, exquisite sounding track. Raul, of course, as he does all things, he's just brilliant at just finding his place in the music, you know?
Right.
And I remember the first time I got the rough track of it, my mom was visiting me from Los Angeles. We were in Nashville.
Right.
I was making her breakfast, and she cut, and I say, hey, I want to play you something. And I played that track that we cut, Once Upon a Time, and she just about wept. I guess it'd been a while since she'd really heard that song.
Right.
And I feel like, wow, she got so emotional. It made me feel kind of, made me feel like, you know, in some way I gave a little bit of a tribute to her. And, you know, through introducing the song to the band.
Right.
And to now it being recorded, now it's on the record.
Right. And now so, back to her, and now it's back become to her. Full circle.
Isn't that something?
Amazing.
I've had a lot of moments like that in this life, you know, but that's a special one.
That's special,
you
know? Yeah. Special. You know, anything from moms is always
absolutely
special.
Yeah.
Again, EP. Thank you, buddy.
All right, man. It's great.
Right.
Yeah.
Glad I got to talk about that.
All right, man.
Man,
cool,
make
bro.
Make sure I got
cool.
that in there. You always got to take care of moms.
Absolutely.
Always.
Man, let me help you pull them.
Yeah.
All right, Lulu. All good, bud. Thank you very much, pal. What time is it?
We got about 40 minutes, all I guess. Right.
Cool.
I just gotta hunt Raul down to get him to sign, and then.
Yeah, I thought he was in the bus, but I thought.
All right, so. Are you going back to the bus now?
No, I'm staying here until we do the show.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to chill out here for a second.
Okay.
I'll do my partying afterwards. It's been four nights with the world, bro.
Oh, I know.
This is
night
four.
I know.
I'm going to take it easy.
I know. You have to.
But I'm going to celebrate tonight, bro.
All right.
Thank you.
You got it, buddy. Thank you.
What's up?
What's up?